Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Great to be in studio as we answer your questions throughout the United States and Canada. Questions coming in fact, from around the world. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Numerically, 888-275-4265. Our contact information, as always, on the web, it's equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultants, they are standing by, 888-7000. And the letters CRI, a newspaper article caught my attention today. It was written by Stephen Prothrow. He's a scholar, he says, of American religion. And the title of his article, big letters, huge letters, says, who would vote if you were Jesus? Who would you vote for? And the answer that he gives is one word, Bernie. He says that he is supposed to take Sanders, Bernie Sanders, that is, at his word, and slot him as a secular Jew, because that's what he says he is, not particularly religious, and then just leave it at that. Even so, he says, I cannot shake the sneaking suspicion that Bernie Sanders is the most Christian candidate in the race. He goes on to say that Bernie sounds a whole lot like Pope Francis. Not only that, but Jesus, like Bernie, says nothing ever against abortion. In fact, Jesus blessed the poor over the filthy rich. Jesus focused on justice. He was not focused on salvation in the world to come. Jesus never condemns same-sex sexuality. And therefore, unlike others, and in this particular case, he says that while televangelist Kenneth Copeland says Cruz is anointed to be the next president of the United States, Sanders would never presume to say something like that about himself. And then Prothrow, he's a professor of religion at Boston University, says, I would never bring my Bible into the ballot box, but if you do, if you consult with Jesus on election day, don't say you weren't warned if he tells you that he is casting his lot with Bernie, the secular Jew. Now, I'm certainly not suggesting who you should vote for. My point in bringing this up is that once again, we need discernment skills. Christ wants us to give freely from the heart. Prothers wants to force it down your throat, and that through inefficient government. Year after year after year, we're told the same thing. Big government is going to solve the problems of America. And every single year, the debt continues to skyrocket, and the poor are left behind. Why? Because of inefficiency. You think about what happened in the war generation. They had the contagious joy of giving. And not only were they empowered to spread the gospel around the globe, they fed the hungry. They clothed the naked. They cared for the sick. And that's what we're called to do. Like them, establish Christian education, hospitals, relief organizations, ministries that bring the gospel around the world. The free will world of giving. When that becomes the playground, that becomes the solution. Now, obviously, what's happened is because wealth is not omnipresent, wealth that's taken for inefficient programs cannot be used to care for those in need. But make no mistake, one point is correct. We are to care for those in need, and not only for their bodies, but for their souls as well. And that's why today I want to say I am so thankful, grateful, and I'm talking about a feeling from deep within me for what people have done this month to give to this ministry. Many, many have joined the monthly CRI support team. I think of Jackie, and the reason I'm thinking of her is because I personalized a book to her just last night. She's giving $20 a month. She's in Missouri. Tammy, she's in Alabama. She's giving $25 a month. I wish it was $25,000. Gail in Wyoming, $40 a month. James in Kansas, $50 a month. Jim in Illinois, $100 a month. These are all on my mind because I was last night, as I said, autographing, personalizing books to these people as my way of saying thank you. Kevin, Colorado, $50. Gary, California, $15. So whatever the amount the Lord lays on your heart, I would love to encourage you to join the CRI monthly support team. And as with the others I mentioned, and there are now over 70 that have joined this month, I'd be pleased to personalize a copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, to you, a family member or a friend. If you haven't heard me say this before, you might have. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, is very, very different than the old one. It's bigger. The layout is different. It's got 50 new entries, and it is for sure a collector's piece. Available for your support all this month. For those who give, be happy to send you the book as my gift. And for those who join the monthly CRI support team, be happy to personalize one to you, as just mentioned, either to you, a family member, or a friend. A lot of you hanging on. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll go right to the phone lines. First up is Sarah. She's listening in Knoxville, Tennessee on WRJZ. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah, I appreciate you very much. Thank you for taking my call. I have a question about salvation. I was saved as a child, surrendered my life in my 20s. Father, a pastor, parents, missionaries, taught in a Christian school, graduated from Christian college. John MacArthur takes a very strong stance about people who are saved as children, or I guess anyone that considers salvation to be a one-time event and then feels secure after that. It appears and seems as though my perception is the idea is a continuing walk, steadily growing, you know, reaching some destination in the end. I'm wondering about how you perceive that. Charles Stanley is not that way. Charles Stanley is, once you become a Christian, your sins are forgiven, past, present, future. Everything is secure. I just, you know, I'm hoping you can help me.
Well, I don't think it's one or the other. I think it is certainly true that when you are justified, you are now clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. But you're absolutely right in saying that you continue walking towards the destination. And that's what we call sanctification. It is growing in grace and knowledge. It is being a participant in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. It is being transformed in your inner being. And one day you're going to be completed in that process, in that you're going to be glorified. So it is a process, and I think you have said it very correctly. We are walking towards that goal, and we have to continue to partake of the means of grace. It's not as though now I've bought a fire insurance policy, and we got that out of the way. I can get on to other things. No, we're laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where our treasure is, there our heart will be also.
Okay, sir, and again, this is causing me a lot of anxiety, so I just want to be sure of what you're saying. You're saying it is not a one-time event. It is not, now I am secure, and I'm forever in the arms of the Lord, and never will I leave you nor forsake you. That doesn't exist. Is that correct?
Well, I think that there is a certain qualitative difference between those who have a said faith and those who have a real faith. If you have genuine faith, which is to say that you have repented, you have turned, and now you're walking in a different direction, the one who saves you is also the one who sanctifies you. So the one who began the work in you will complete it. But having said that, you have to partake of the means of grace. If you're not partaking of the means of grace, then it may be an indication that you have a said faith as opposed to a saving faith.
Yes, sir. And it also could mean that a person, and again, I'm grateful for every moment you spend with me, it could also mean that a person grew up with easy believism, which means I know all about the mercy of God, I know all about the grace of God. This idea of the holiness of God, it's causing me to have nightmares, because I don't believe I'm at that point. It doesn't mean that I don't believe. I certainly do and have committed my life. But, sir, and I just, again, with all respect, I'm saying and asking you, in our church today, I think I'm one, we have many Christians who want to hold to Christ and yet say, okay, well, I can still have my pornography, eating disorder, alcoholism, drug addiction, whatever I choose, because why? I was saved, and I know I'm saved, and God's all full of grace and mercy, and He'll understand this, won't He? Well, I think that when sin becomes an acceptance of a lifestyle, when a person quits struggling, when a person quits trying to fight against it, I think at that point, then I would see some danger there. Like R.C. Sproul says, leave your sin or take it to hell with you. I'm not talking about an accidental falling down. I'm talking about a particular sin, whatever excess it is, that a person just can't seem to let go of.
Wow, you are articulate. And I would say this, that you are absolutely right in saying that there's a plague in the Christian church, a plague of easy believism. And what Christ tells us to do is precisely what you articulated. We are called to take up our cross and daily follow Him. When we are baptized, we are saying that we're no longer our own. We've been bought with a price, and we are now following Jesus Christ, whatever the cost, we are willing to pay that cost, because our focus is not on mean earthly vanities. Rather, our focus is on eternal verities. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Aaron, listening in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Bot Radio. Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Hank. My question was what kind of light that the Bible shed on mediums, and whether that was, what I've read so far has always leaned towards, you know, that it's definitely not of God. And really my question just came from my girlfriend kind of started watching the medium shows, and I just really wasn't sure how I felt about it, so I kind of started doing my own research, and I was just kind of curious about, you know, what kind of knowledge you could give me on that.
Sure. The Bible's very clear on this. Don't do it. It is a dangerous practice to get involved in. Not only that, it's completely bankrupt. This is sleight of hand, sleight of mind, and unfortunately, because of pop culture, a lot of people who lack discernment skills are biting into the empty bauble. And when you do, it just dissipates. You cannot do what the mediums do in reality. You can only feign doing what they do. In other words, it is an example of the emperor having no clothes. It's an act. It is, as I said, sleight of mind. Sometimes it's sleight of hand as well, but it isn't real. And not only that, again, it leads you into dangerous tributaries. Reason being is that Satan can capitalize on our credulity, and as a result of that, we can be led into very, very dangerous situations. Tell her not to do it. The Bible's emphatic. Don't do it. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 18, for example. We'll be back in just a few moments with more answers to your questions. If you haven't downloaded our Equip app, just go to equip.org/app. The app is absolutely incredible. It's the CRI app. You can download it at equip.org/app. Be back with more answers.
How should Christians respond to the LGBTQ community? What about Easter celebrations? Should Christians fear death? Is soul sleep biblical? What about the millennium? These and many more are the questions answered in the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated by Hank Hanegraaff. Receive Hank's revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this. In an age in which more and more people are apparently inclined to major on the minor, C.S. Lewis wisely guides our focus to mere Christianity. The book Mere Christianity came from talks given by Lewis on BBC Radio during World War II. Many were questioning their traditional faith or seeking a faith they could rationally embrace. So Lewis presented and defended the distilled essence of the faith, what he referred to as mere Christianity. His message speaks to us with profound relevance today, as growing numbers of Americans witness the fabric of society fraying amidst terrorist attacks that jolt our sensibilities, from Paris to San Bernardino. To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, or visit equip.org. With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include five differences between Sharia and Old Testament law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, reason, truth, faith, and literary imagination, literature as apologetics, humanity crucified, Hemingway, and the human condition. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI. or subscribe online at equip.org. The average Christian can't be expected to be a Bible scholar. And in today's fast-paced, quick-fix culture, few people are going to do the heavy lifting of systematically searching Scripture to find the answers they need to what can be a very long list of questions. Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, offers you concise, accessible, and thoroughly researched answers. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to the phone callers. Next up is Bobby, listening in Texas. Hi, Bobby.
Hello, Hank.
Hi.
I wanted to ask you a question regarding what you were talking about briefly when I first caught the beginning of this show. I think I came in a little bit late, but you were reading something from a guy who is a religion professor or something, saying he wants to vote for Bernie Sanders.
No, he said Jesus would vote for Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
And the reason he said that is that Jesus never said anything about abortion, and Jesus was for justice in this world rather than salvation for some in the world to come, and these kinds of things, and that he is the most Christian of all those who are running, even though he is a secular Jewish person. So that's the point he was making, and I was simply saying that the issue that he was bringing up with respect to Jesus Christ is just flat wrong. I mean, Jesus cared about life. Jesus certainly cared about social justice, but this does not mean that social justice has to be imposed by government. It should be that which flows from the heart, not something that's forced on us by ineffective programs, but rather that which flows from the heart. And therefore, there's a big, big difference between, let's say, the war generation, where people kept most of their own money because they weren't taxed in the same sense that we're taxed today. And they used that money to help the poor, to help the needy, to fund relief organizations, send the gospel around the world. Today, we have one bureaucracy over another bureaucracy over another bureaucracy. And as a result of that, we have a big government, but people continue to get left behind. And the promises continue to escalate. If we have a little bigger government, then the poor are going to do even better. These kinds of things. And I think we need to wise up to what has really happened rather than simply listening to the political rhetoric of the Stephen Prothrow.
I would definitely agree with a lot of the sentiments there. As somebody who is pro-life, if it's okay, I don't want to take up too much time, but I would like to offer you a point of view of why me as a millennial, I'm considering and planning probably more than likely to vote for Bernie Sanders as someone who is pro-life and unhappy with some of the specific examples that you gave. Would that be okay?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very interested in your opinion.
Okay, so my thought is this, that the next presidency, I don't think we will see a successful repeal of Roe v. Wade. And if we did see success there, I think it would come through more of the grassroots movement that's happening within the religious community. You've seen a lot of abortion clinics closed over the last decades, so that's good. The other thing that I think about is that when it comes to abortion, I'm looking at what are the preconditions for a woman being in a position where she thinks that she needs to abort her baby. And I look at economic conditions, and I think the data would bear that out, that you see abortions in primarily poor neighborhoods. The other thing that I would that I'm thinking about here is exactly like you said, the inefficiency and the bureaucracy that's plagued government in this country. And for me, it looks like this is someone who's, even though I disagree with him on several things, he's got authenticity, and he seems to be calling out the bureaucracy for not representing the will of the people. And I think that, if anything, the next presidency will direct the tone. One of the things I appreciate already is the kinds of conversation that his run is creating. And I think it's, people have a very bad taste in their mouth from the last few presidencies. And that's why Trump is doing good on this side, and Sanders is doing good on this side, surprisingly so, because they're both talking about exposing the big problems that we're seeing. I just personally feel like the solutions that are coming from a progressive socialist background will be more successful in fixing the problems. And I just have one last thing that I would like to say about the role of government institutions in morality and civic duty. The case being that when you pass an accident on the highway, it is your responsibility to stop and render aid. And if you don't, as a society, we've established laws that say you will be penalized. In the same way, when people don't decide to be their brother's keeper, when they don't decide to reach out and help people, then I think it is the duty of a responsible, democratically decided government plan to represent the better will of the people and say, you know what, people who are extracting wealth, people who are taking economic advantage of people who don't have control and power and using that to exploit them, when people are doing that, we're going to penalize that through taxes. So that's all I have to say, and I really do appreciate your show. I really like the way that you draw out parallels. It really helps me understand things, and so I'm hoping that some of the way that I've explained this will help you understand some of what probably a lot of millennials are thinking when they're looking at this season. So,
extraordinarily helpful, and I have to say, Bobby, you are a great example, not only of courtesy, but have great articulation skills. And I think you're absolutely right. I think people are looking for authenticity, and I think that's one of the great attractions. But having said all of that, and this is not to counter every point that you made, but simply to focus on the fact that a lot of very significant things are going to happen during the next presidency, including what's necessary to keep this country safe. And that's one of the primary functions of the Commander-in-Chief. Also, what's going to happen with respect to the Supreme Court. And again, as I mentioned about money, is it really going to get better for the poor when you have ineffective, enhanced bureaucracies? That's the question ultimately that you have to look at. And I think that there's a real track record to look at, not only in terms of American politics, you know, in the last few generations, but we have to go back a few generations and look at what happened even before the war. So this is not something that should be taken lightly, because socialism is a system of thought. That system of thought is complex and involved, and it shouldn't be simply dealt with in a cavalier fashion. So again, this is not a counter to what you're saying, because I very much appreciate your perspective, your courtesy, and I admire how articulate you are.
Well, thank you, Hank. I appreciate that very much.
God bless you. Thank you for calling into the show and sharing your thoughts with us. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Jake, listening in Illinois on Bot Radio. Hi, Jake.
Hello. Thank you, Hank. I really appreciate this this time with you. It helps me and my family grow quite a bit. My question is, when the death of Lazarus, Jesus first heard that Lazarus was sick and was going to die. And at the end of that, he wept. And I just want clarification on why he wept. I've got two theories. He wept because the people didn't have faith. The other people mocked him. The other people say that, you know, he wept because he was generally in sorrow.
I think both of those are right. And I think you're wise to point them out. I mean, he deeply cared about the fallen condition of humanity, but he also deeply cared about his friend. And you have to remember that this is, in some sense, enhancing our understanding of the humanity of Jesus Christ. He's one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. So at once we see his humanity, but we also see his divinity, because he does what no human being can do. He is able to raise the dead. And that points ultimately to his own resurrection and the fact that we too will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. But yes, he cared deeply about those who were so wrapped up in the politics of their own day that they didn't see the light of the kingdom when it was there in their midst. So I think both things that you point out are very well taken as the two primary points, and I think you're wise to note them.
Okay. I appreciate that. Like I said, I was just wanting a clarification. And as far as my spiritual growth, I would say I'm a teenager, you know. So I'm gobbling this stuff up left and right, and I really appreciate your informative answers. And I just got your book, and I'm more than happy to get right in there and start reading it. So I appreciate your time, and thank you.
Hey, thank you so much for your call, and we are getting fairly close to another break. I'm going to stay right here, obviously, after the break and take another segment of live calls, and then I may even stay for an extra hour once we go off the air, kind of see how that goes in a few minutes. But remember, when you give as part of the CRI support team, when you become a regular support team member, you can do that in a lot of different ways. You can give electronically. That saves time and postage. You can use a credit card, a debit card, EFT, a lot of different ways to do it. But when you join the monthly CRI support team, it literally turbocharges the ministry. So if you transition from being an occasional giver to a monthly giver, be deeply appreciated. I've mentioned this all month, but we're trying to set a new record of people joining the monthly support team because my new book came out, The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated. For those that have a copy, you know it's not brand new, but it is a revised, updated. It's got 50 new entries, a new layout. It's a bigger form. It's just a fantastic keepsake, and I'll personalize it to you, a family member or a friend. Check it out on the web at equip.org/donate. You can also write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, and our resource consultants, they're standing by at 888-7000 and the letter CRI. If you don't have our newsletter, by the way, you can check it out on the web as well, free of charge. And on the web, you can subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. It's our award-winning magazine. I'll be back in just a few moments with more.
Having dismissed the salt and light of God's Word, we shouldn't be surprised to see corruption abounding and darkness increasing as a consequence. Yet when you ponder the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation, which ones would not be improved through a pervasive and deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths? That's why you need the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, revised and updated by Hank Hanegraaff. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org, equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Although superficial similarities exist between the Law of Moses and the Law of Muhammad, profound differences abound. The article, Five Differences Between Sharia and Old Testament Law, shows why Christians who condemn ISIS-style beheadings, sexual exploitation of women, and oppression of religious minorities are not being hypocrites. Other topics include the theological vision of Pope Francis, Christian hip-hop, death with dignity and the Imago Dei, bears gone wild, responding to attacks on the portrayal of God in the Old Testament. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. A deeper understanding of the Bible's principles and truths will improve the spiritual, moral, and ethical problems facing our nation. Yet the obstacle isn't that the Bible doesn't speak to our greatest needs or answer our deepest questions. It's that the average person lacks the time and tools to extract the answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff wrote the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. This expanded edition addresses over 210 of the top questions he's received as host of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Hank has taken the complex and made it simple and memorable. Receive the revised and updated complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI. And make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The great difficulty is to get modern audiences to realize that you are preaching Christianity solely and simply because you think it is true. They always suppose you're preaching it because you like it. Now, a clearly maintained distinction between what the faith actually says and what you would like it to have said forces your audience to realize that you are tied to your data just as the scientist is tied by the results of the experiments, that you are not just saying what you like. This immediately helps them realize that what is being discussed is a question about objective fact." To receive your copy of Mere Christianity as our thanks for your gift, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff is convinced that the increase in our national social woes, now reaching alarming heights, can be correlated to what is a decades-long decline in biblical literacy. To help reverse this trend, Hank wrote the Complete Bible Answer Book. And now, he'd like you to have a copy of the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated. Receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Equip.org. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is Chris, listening in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Bod Radio. Hi, Chris.
Hello, Hank. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for asking.
I have a dilemma, and I wanted, and I know we're only limited to one question, so I'm going to try to correlate three things in this one question. I have a friend, she just recently, got involved with a guy, and, he got her to start playing this card game, called Magic. And whenever she told me about it, I said, I think that's some witchcraft is involved in that, and I'm not sure if it's actually involved, has any correlation with the occult or anything like that. But what ended up happening was she went back and told the guy, and he's an atheist, he doesn't even believe in God, and he laughed, and he said, no, this isn't... this is just a card game, and he laughed and said, this doesn't have anything to do with witchcraft or anything like that. And going into the other two things that I mentioned previously, Harry Potter and Pokemon, is there a way that I can show her in the Bible, because she does believe in Christianity and in Jesus Christ and in the Bible, that I can point her to and show her that there's direct evidence that you know, has something to do with witchcraft.
Yeah, a couple of things. One is you can see witchcraft described from a biblical standpoint in Deuteronomy chapter 18. And, you know, it's in some ways related to the idea that your eyes are going to be opened, that you will have an idea of knowing good and evil that's based on moral relativity, where truth is no longer objective, but rather it is subjective. But as far as magic is concerned in a Wiccan or a witchcraft sense, Wiccans practice magic, and actually it's spelt with a K at the end of it to differentiate it from conjuring for entertainment. But they practice magic in an attempt to manipulate the natural world and then alter mental and material conditions. And in that way, Wicca or witchcraft is an esoteric occult practice designed to manipulate reality in concert with the Wiccan's will. And the tools of the craft do include swords and spell books and chalices and cards and cords and crystals and all of that. But I don't think that you can parallel every card game to this kind of Wiccan practice, nor... do we have to believe that something is going to happen as a result of it, which is to say that you talked to an atheist or a materialist that laughed and said, you know, all of this is... Well, he has a particular point of view, right? His point of view is that we're dealing with a materialistic world in which there is no thing, there's nothing else other than the material. But in the real world, when you start involving yourself in occult practices, it becomes the playground of the devil, and that's where the danger lies. And that's why you have the warnings in passages in books like Deuteronomy, which are just as relevant for us today as they were then in terms of something that we shouldn't involve ourselves in. Reason being is that the only spiritual connection we want is a connection to the one who can really do things which are beyond the capability of demons and humans.
Okay. What about the... would that also apply to, you know, Harry Potter movies in the same way?
I think that there's... A sense in which we have to realize that these kinds of things can be used for good and for evil. For example, you look at The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe. You're actually moving into Middle Earth. You're moving into a different world. So the question is, are you rooting for that which is good, or are you rooting for that which is evil? So if you have a narrative or a meta-narrative within a movie or a book that causes you to embrace or get sucked into evil, or the meta-narrative gets you to root for evil, then you probably should avoid it. But there's nothing wrong with this kind of genre a film or book, as we have noted with C.S. Lewis, R.R. Tolkien, and the like.
Okay.
We actually did an article in the Christian Research Journal on this. I forget what the title is, but you can probably find it on the web at equip.org. It really gives you an idea of how to think about these things.
Okay. All right. Thank you, because, man, you have really... I just thank and praise God for you and your ministry, and I just want to thank and praise God for me allowing... I accidentally found Bot Radio Network on my radio station when I just accidentally hit the button, and that's how I found out about the radio station. I've just been listening to it ever since. Every time I get into the car, and I'm just like really so excited to become a supportive, faithful member of this ministry. And God's really been laying that on my heart for the past couple of weeks. And, I mean, it's really has opened my eyes to a lot of things. And it's allowed me to realize how little that I do know that I thought I did know, you know. And it's just awesome.
Well, Chris, thank you so much for those words. They don't go unnoticed. And it deeply touched my heart. It's people like you that... that ultimately stand shoulder to shoulder with us and make a difference. We can't do what we do without people like you. Hang on, though. I'll put that article into your hands. For some reason or other, I haven't seen your moment. I can't remember the title of it, but hang on. We'll get it into your hands. Let's go back to the phone lines, talk to Tina, listening in Gig Harbor, Washington, Bot Radio. Hi, Tina.
Hi, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I always appreciate all your wisdom with all your questions. It seems like you know the answers to... about anything you're asked. But here's one, and you've probably been asked, but I haven't heard the answer. So I used to believe in the premillennial rapture, but I'm starting to rethink that. But I do have a question that I cannot find the answer to, and maybe you can, and that's the 1,000-year reign where Satan is bound. And I'm speaking specifically of Revelation 27.
That's Revelation chapter 20.
You're right, 20. Maybe
you're talking about verse 7.
Right. Yes, Revelation 27, when the 1,000 years are over, he will be released and will go to the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them and then deceive the nations. So could you please tell me who the nations are and... when is this 1,000-year reign, binding of Satan going to take place? And who are these people he's going to, is it before the 7-year tribulation or after the 7-year tribulation? I'm just trying to figure out where this 1,000 years fits in.
Sure. And here's just sort of prologue to answering that question. Jesus spoke repeatedly about the resurrection of the dead, but he did not so much as hint at the notion of a 1,000-year semi-golden age, or the idea that after he returns, there's going to be a cursed creation for another 1,000 years, and he's going to be reigning over a rebuilt temple with reinstituted temple sacrifices. You just don't find that anywhere in Scripture. When Jesus spoke with Martha concerning the resurrection of her brother, he affirmed that Lazarus would be resurrected on the last day, not prior to a 1,000-year semi-golden age. And there's nothing in Scripture whatsoever to suggest that those who have fallen asleep in Christ are going to return to a fallen world with fallen human beings. But the big picture here is that you have to get a hold of a passage that's using apocalyptic language. And within that language, you have metaphors. And 1,000 is a metaphor. It's very much like 1,000 is used throughout the Bible, where God says he increased the number of the Israelites 1,000 times, or he says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, or he shows loving kindness to 1,000 generations. And if you're familiar with the Bible, you're probably familiar with 1,000 other examples, metaphorically speaking, at least. There's so many examples in Scripture. But the idea of 1,000, for example, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, doesn't mean that God only owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It means he owns everything. And when he shows loving kindness to 1,000 generations, it doesn't mean just 1,000. His loving kindness is everlasting, is the point. So the metaphor within Revelation chapter 20, and that's the only place that you'll find the 1,000-year millennium that people talk about. The metaphor is within the context of a book in which we are being told by John in his first century epic that there are going to be churches in the first century that are going to suffer, but if they're faithful and fruitful, their vindication is going to be for 1,000 years. Their vindication is going to be an everlasting vindication. So God's covenant mercies endure forever, and in the same way, Satan is forever defeated. That's the idea. But John is making plain in Revelation that the worst of the tribulation is still looming on the horizon, and as such, Satan is going to be set free for a short time. He's going to surround the camp of God's people, the city he loves, before Christ's coming in judgment and ultimate vindication. That's all within a first century epic. And we shouldn't try to drive that into the 21st century. If you want further detail, I've written about this in the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. There's an entry there, as well as in a more global sense, in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. A lot of you hanging on. As a result of that, I'm going to stay right here for an extra hour. Once we go off the air, continue taking your calls. And remember, for those that haven't dialed in yet, you can start dialing right now. If you can't get through, keep trying. For the next hour, I'll keep answering questions. I'll record my answers and play that on a future edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thanks for standing with us shoulder to shoulder in the battle for life and truth.
Our mission at the Christian Research Institute is to equip Christians to think and to live Christianly. In appreciation for your gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, Hank Hanegraaff would like to send you the Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated. Just call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You can also write CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271, or simply visit online at equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what's in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Frugal, transparent, and down-to-earth, Pope Francis is one of the most popular public figures. But what about his theological vision? Although he doesn't seem to be pushing a dogmatic Roman Catholic outlook, he nonetheless has his own dogmatic certainties, and they are not what one may expect. Other topics include 5 differences between Sharia and Old Testament law, Jonathan Cahn's American Revelation, reason, truth, faith, and literary imagination, literature as apologetics, humanity crucified, Hemingway, and the human condition. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive collection of the most often asked as well as most difficult questions Hank Hanegraaff has received in nearly 3 decades of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. This expanded edition contains new entries, leading readers to a better understanding of God and our relationship to Him in Jesus Christ. The Complete Bible Answer Book, Collector's Edition, Revised and Updated, is a comprehensive, handy, and attractive volume that you will return to again and again. Take your exploration of God's Word to new heights and receive the revised and updated Complete Bible Answer Book as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org.